From the Financial Times in London, I am Jonathan Moles, and this is FT News. Today we published our annual ranking of MBA courses according to their support for entrepreneurship. This is a unique FT data project reflecting the growing interest among MBA graduates in starting their own companies. I'm joined by Lauren Ortman, who compiled the list. Lauren, how many schools are on this year's list?
Well, this year we ranked 50 schools, which is quite a big change compared to last year.
So what do we have then?
Last year we had only 25.
And why the difference?
Yeah, good question. So the issue was we changed a threshold under which we could include schools. Last year we only considered business school with at least 15 respondents who were entrepreneurs among respondents to our survey. And this year I lowered it to more than 10. So that way it's a bit more democratic and it allows us to include business school with like smaller cohort. Obviously the bigger the cohort, the more respondent you get in our survey. So it was kind of penalizing the smaller school.
And what sort of things are we finding out about how business schools are teaching entrepreneurship? How effectively are they doing this?
Well, it seems to be quite effective because over 20% of MBA graduates have started a business during their study or since graduating.
Is that people going full time into starting a company?
Well, it includes both. I think quite a large proportion of it will be what we call like part-time entrepreneurs. But obviously, it depends at school level. If we look at Stanford, the school ranked number one in this year ranking, 76% of them got the main source of income from their company. So it's quite a large number, but it can vary significantly. Quite a few of the schools will have less than half of their entrepreneurs deriving most of the income from their company. So that means they will have a full-time corporate job on the side.
Because an MBA is not cheap. At Stanford, it can cost almost $170,000, I think they're up to now a year for this. And that's a two-year course. So are these people all gifted from aristocratic families? Or is there something else saying about the urge to start something up, even if you're loaded down with debt?
Well, I don't know. This is kind of data we collect. You know, we don't ask for this level of savings, but obviously they must have something put away. I mean, obviously the big question is there's a finance for yourself and, you know, you need to have a living salary, but also, you know, the big issue is like raising equity. So, I mean, that's a completely different type of finance issue.
If you've already got a big debt, finding a bit more debt to start a company may not seem such a...
Well, it's a different type of debt, yeah. I mean, you rely on investor to back you up.
And Stanford is in the middle of Silicon Valley, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised about that sort of sparking entrepreneurs. We've also got places like MIT at number two. We've got the highest UK and non-US entrant is Cambridge Judge, and Cambridge is known as a sort of tech startup cluster. These schools may be plotting the hotspots for starting businesses?
Well, I think location is kind of everything, right? Being in the heart of Silicon Valley, you got all the network, you got all the company, you got more investors that are probably based in Silicon Valley than anywhere else. Percentage of entrepreneurs is not everything. I mean, if you're looking at Judge Business School, only 17% of the graduates started a company. But what made the difference for them is the support they got from the school and the alumni network, which was rated very highly.
This maybe gets down to what is it that business school gives you? Is it the classes? Or is it really that network of elite people, this wonderful group who are going to be fantastic investors for your company?
Well, I think it's everything. It gives you the fundamentals. It teaches you lots of the basics and give you the motivation as well to start a company. It, you know, they impart the skills. But obviously the alumni networks is very important. Lots of students rely on fellow students to co-found companies. They rely on their network, alumni network, to invest in their own company. And they can also rely on alumni to be their client. Many entrepreneurs comment that their first big client was an alumni. The support from the school and the alumni network, I think, is very important.
And a lot of the schools here are in the US and the UK. I suppose people wonder, the big news stories being Donald Trump being the president and Brexit in the UK, both of which seem to be sort of working against encouraging young bucks to sort of come to those two countries, the kind of people who might start up businesses. Does our ranking maybe defy that?
I think it's a bit too early to say, because the people we surveyed graduated in 2013, so long before Donald Trump or Brexit, and I think it's a bit too early to have an impact. A lot of these companies are in IT, so I guess they're easier to move if needed. You know, you just have to move the server, or you can rent in a different place. So I don't know, maybe that will happen in future.
One perception is people go to business school to increase their earning power and their salaries. Does our entrepreneurship ranking deal with that issue?
No, it doesn't. We don't consider the salaries of the entrepreneurs for two reasons. I mean, as I said, quite a few of them are part-time entrepreneurs. They don't really derive their salary from their entrepreneurship. And many full-time entrepreneurs don't have a salary yet, or they don't wish to report it yet. So we don't really have that information.
And what other places outside the US and the UK are maybe coming through that we might spot as entrepreneurial centres?
The ranking this year has a school from 13 countries. They're obviously, half of them are from the US. Another 10 are, out of the 50 are from the UK. But I mean, there's school from Mexico, Spain, Costa Rica, and all over Europe. And in terms of location, people who decide to set up a company overseas mainly go to the US or the UK, because that's where they studied. But we can see that Singapore, Hong Kong are very popular locations.
So entrepreneurship is really becoming a global event.
It is, absolutely.
Laurent, thank you very much. To read the full ranking and analysis by our data journalists, log on to ft.com/work-careers.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.